Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We know where you live. And now does the CIA, because we have a little tracking module on there that sends a drone strike directly to your house within 5 minutes of tuning into the Vinnie Eastwood Show, because it's just that dangerous. Now, let's see if our callers are actually there and working. Tim, are you there? Tim? No. Next caller. 561 area code. You've called in like 3 or 4 times. I hope it works this time. Are you there?
Hey, Vinnie.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? It works.
It's working.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy.
Oh, great. Okay. Hi, my name's Chris.
Chris? Yeah. What state are you calling from, bro?
I'm calling from Florida in the state.
Okay. Drone is dispatched. It should be there shortly. Okay, so you've got 5 minutes to tell us what you need to, bro.
I just wanted to say I'm loving the interview, and I caught you on YouTube a while back, Vinny, and I had heard you before. You had switched to the kind of split-screen format, so I hadn't seen you, and I was like, who's this guy that's joking around and, playing the role in a funny kind of a way as opposed to doom and gloom, and I really kind of dug it, and so I kind of perused more of your stuff, and then I caught back up with you later on, and then I got to put a face to the name, and I just love the style that you use to it's just such a breath of fresh air to hear. The funny, the lighter side of genocide, as you call it. And I wrote a few comments underneath Vin for the win under a few of the videos. And the interviewer, the guests you have on right now, the guests you've had on, they're all top-notch. The style, I love it. I don't get depressed afterwards from listening. I always walk away a little bit more knowledgeable afterwards. And I just had to get a hold of this Vinnie Eastwood and let you know that I really, really enjoyed the show. And I had a comment, actually, for both you guys. Can you guys still hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You guys were talking about, it was kind of all over the place, kind of. I came in a little bit late. But
yeah, it is. I know you.
But good stuff though, and more people. I'm gonna post put more of your stuff on Facebook so that more people can hear the show, because they really need to. And a lot of people that will be turned off by maybe the style of somebody like an Alex Jones or more of the scaremongering stuff would definitely, I think, be able to get into your show by virtue of the fact the way that you present. And once again, kudos to that. But my comment was, when the Japanese had the whole Fukushima incident, what I noticed that was different from here in the States was in New Orleans, and I'm not criticizing the people at all. I mean, it was terrible what happened. But, there was rioting and, looting, and it was just a mess. And I had read somewhere that the way that the Japanese conducted themselves during their meltdown and, all hell breaking loose there, there were no murders of at the time of the article that I read. There was no, mass looting. There was no rioting. And I think it spoke a lot to, the culture and, just the differences. And, like here, if there's a power outage, people are ready, because we've had some hurricanes here in South Florida. I mean, we got hit by Katrina, too. And it was crazy. I mean, at the gas pumps, and the ATMs run out of money, and, people freak out. And I'm a normally laid-back person, and I was getting, super-duper anxious. And I was like, wow, I'm really, like, nervous. It was kind of like, super high tension sort of a event. And I could see how people would act out in a situation like that. But I just wanted to say...
Chris.
Yeah.
In that situation, had you had the Katrina built up in your head through the media over a number of days previously so that the fear was all there, or did Katrina just suddenly show up like the tsunami and everybody was just shocked and reeling with it and then just start to deal with it as it came in?
You know what? That's a good point, Vinny. As a matter of fact, I'm sure that, I try not to watch as much news, and... I think you're onto something when you say that I think they definitely do build up, they do pump up, whether it's weather or, without getting into HARP and all that, whether it's a weather event or whatever event, whenever it's always, super negative and they scare people. And if it bleeds, it leads, that old cliche on the news, they definitely employ that tactic. But what happened with Katrina that was a little bit different was, a lot of people, because we get lucky on our side of Florida, where we normally get hit, people were actually rollerblading, and they were out, and nobody really was preparing too much, because they thought it was just going to, be a Category 2 or whatever the number was, and it wasn't going to be a big deal, and we actually kind of got blindsided. But that being said, I do think that the media did play into the aftermath when, people were all without power for just a few days, and there was, like, mass runs to the gas stations, and the streetlights were out, and people were grabbing everything off the shelves. The Walmarts and the big mega stores, they were just cleared out, and the power was only out for, like, 3 days. And, like tops, for the worst case people, 3 weeks, but that was very, few. And that was here in South Florida. But people just went into full on, they were buying batteries that they, the batteries you don't even use. They were buying flashlights. They were buying stuff that, people were freaking out. And, I definitely think that the media probably had a huge role in that. But, I just wanted to contrast, the ways that the two cultures I noticed from that report. And I just wanted to throw that out to you guys and get your insight into that.
Eric, you want to take that?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I wonder what does that say about the cultures, or is it a cultural thing, or is it just the media manipulation? What does it say that the Japanese would have reacted that way, say, and then Americans might have reacted a different way to a natural or unnatural, as it may be, disaster? What do you think, Vinny? What are the cultural reasons, or is it the media, or is it a mix of both?
In Japan, they came from a empirical culture and that ended as World War II. With extremely high rent and ownership prices, what it's produced essentially as a direct result is a very calm, a very head down, don't make a fuss, don't go out of control society that is very easy to control, but also very disciplined. Of the self and very, very private. So that culture has a very different reaction to, say, the American culture, where it's be out in front of the movie cameras and stuff like that, where they deify celebrity and everybody wants to be one. Whereas in Japan, it's the direct opposite. People don't want to be noticed, and they don't want to cause problems or disturbances in other people's lives. There's a video of Tom Green goes to Japan, where he goes on a train in Japan, and it's deathly quiet.
I remember that.
Nobody's saying a word. So he starts being the the typical troublemaker that he is. He goes, I want you to yell out if you like potatoes. it's just totally off. And we don't fit into that culture because that culture is designed for people to fit within it, not above it, not to be noticed or appear out of place. So when a disaster happens, the person who appears out of place is the person making a fuss. And in America, the people who appear out of the place are the people who are sitting there relaxed and ain't got no problems because they've already sussed it beforehand and they're completely calm. And it's incidentally, we were talking about synchronicity before. I heard the song yesterday and it reminded me and I was just like, man, whoa, why is that song playing? And this means something to me. It was, I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. And I think that the American culture could actually benefit from turning Japanese in that respect so that when disasters do happen, people aren't going out panicking, getting all the gas. I mean, it's 3 days. You're in the most developed country in the world, arguably, and you're panicking because the power's gone out for a little bit? What?
And the safest.
I mean, am I wrong, or is paranoia and overreaction the modus operandi of the USA now? Certainly seems to be the modus operandi of the government, and as a direct result, the people begin to behave in a similar fashion, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah,
contrast that with the culture that gave us Zen and meditation and whatnot, right? I think there's an idiom in Japanese that says the nail that sticks up the highest is the first one to get hammered. And so it's like you're saying nobody wants to stick out, whereas in America it's like the opposite. Everyone's trying to show their individuality and how different and rebellious they are from everyone else. So I think there are definitely cultural reasons behind the issue we're talking about. But I think the media... forgot who mentioned it, but I think that's definitely a part of it too, is that the media always hypes us up, and right back to the fear-mongering thing again, when your media is being delivered to you in that fear-mongering professional fashion, you get all worked up about it, and when your media is being delivered in the fashion that Vinny's given it to you, you leave feeling a lot better. So I think we're definitely onto something, and we've woven a thread between the two subjects we're talking about.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank you for your call, man. Do you have a final point there?
Sorry, Vinny, I didn't hear what you said.
I was going to thank you for your call, and if you have anything final to say, now's the time.
If you guys want to see, because you always play George Carlin on that buffer, made a George versus the TSA video. Just type in George versus the TSA if you want to have a laugh and check out my channel. And I will definitely be promoting both of you guys and keep up the good work, the two of you. I'm going to sit back and enjoy the rest of this. And I'm going to try to keep calling in the future and spreading the word about your show, Vinny.
That's ridiculously awesome of you, bro. Thank you. Thank you, like, a lot. That actually means quite a bit to me.
And thanks, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we'll go to our next caller now. Tim in Wisconsin. Tim, are you there, bro, this time?
Hi. I really like this show. I just couldn't help feeling like not being able to agree more with this guest about what he said at the beginning of the show. Because for such a long time, it seemed to me like getting a job working for someone else was the only thing there was for me, because I for such a long time, just could never get any business of my own off the ground, even just a little bit enough. And I kept working at trying to get a small home audio and video recording production business off the ground, and also kept trying a few network marketing businesses. Then after the last regular part-time job at a privately owned Rocky Rococo that ended up Larry going out of business, just because of how long every place after that I tried to apply at a job kept saying, before a job kept saying year after year, sorry, no openings. Then I couldn't get a job anywhere anymore. The thing that kept me working at getting the recording business thing going is that I kept having at least little successes once in even quite enough of a while. It was finally toward the end of August of 2010 that the recording work started becoming steady enough, and even though it has still been only bringing in just only a good bit enough extra money here and there, I still found myself working harder for myself and being my own best employee, because with it being my own thing, I found it meaning more.
Yeah, it is true. That's something I tried to do as well earlier on, Tim, is you try to work real hard sort of thing, and you realize that hard work ain't actually working to a degree, and you got to think about, you know, how to work smarter, how to change up what you're doing and how to receive benefits, and it's kind of like I was watching this movie called Love and Other Drugs, and he's also like peddling pills to people and things like that. And his salesman trainee says to him, you know, just give him a pen, okay? Give him something, okay? Because if you give a gift to somebody, it obligates a response from them. And that's exactly what I started doing out there, man. I just started, you know, bringing on people to the radio show and just giving them some platform, or going out to the protests and filming those people with the microphones and the megaphones and actually putting them up on there and just gifting all day long. And eventually, those things start to come full circle and come back to you, and it turns out to be exactly how much you need. Tim, thanks for your call. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.